The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That was good. I appreciate the Hemingers so very much, and I'm so glad that God has brought them here to our church, and they're an integral part now of our church in many different facets, and so love their attitude, love their submissiveness to the Lord, and how God is working in their life. I want to speak to you tonight on the ways of a backslider, the ways of a backslider. For some reason, I think that perhaps in churches across America, not excluding our church, but including our church, that we have become just a little bit haphazard in the way that we live our Christian life. I think that sometimes we become comfortable. We slide in and we slide out. We come as though God is not really important. And oftentimes we will come as we are, and we'll leave as we came. And can I tell you, God ought to mean more to you than that. Amen. Can I tell you, church ought to mean more to you than that. Amen. And can I tell you, if that's the way you are, yeah, you're probably backslidden. So I want to speak to you a little bit and hopefully be able to reason with you a little bit on the importance of a choice that you'll make and not becoming a backslider. Jeremiah chapter 3 and in verse 6, the Bible says, "And the Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done?" The Bible says here, "She have gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot." Now can I tell you, she has become on the outside what she has already been on the inside. A backslider is only mentioned one time in your Bible as far as the word backslider. The word backsliding shows up 12 times in your Bible, but the word backslider is mentioned in the book of Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14. And listen to what it says about a backslider. The Bible says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." So what is the description of a backslider? Somebody that wants to do their own thing. What is the description of a backslider? Somebody that's filled with their own ways. The Bible says, "And a good man shall be satisfied from himself." And so we see that a backslider is somebody that's filled with their own ways. The Bible talks here, if you will, about backsliding in the Bible, and you'll see where it's described as a backsliding heifer. You'll see where it talks about perpetual backsliding. You'll see where it's talking about a backsliding daughter, and so many other places. The word backsliding in the Bible, in the New Testament, is given by way of description. And we see how a backslider performs. In Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 7, the Bible says, "Ye did run well," listen to it now, "who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" A backslider is somebody that doesn't want to obey the truth. By the way, the Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so a backslider is somebody that feels in captivity of their own heart. And they're definitely not having the liberty that we find in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, they are so captive in their own heart that when the preacher gets up and the preacher preaches against their flesh, they get mad. For the Bible says that when you rebuke a scorner, he'll hate thee. But when you rebuke a wise man, he'll love thee yet the more. There are two types of people that's in this room that live in two types of tents. And everybody lives in one or the other. You either live in the tent of discontent or you live in the tent of content. You and I tonight will make a decision as to what type of tent we choose to abide in. You and I tonight can be content with our service in Jesus Christ. Or we can decide tonight that we're not going to be content and we become discontent. And what happens is every time the preacher gets up or somebody that opens the Bible, whether it is your pastor or a visiting preacher or one of the staff guys that fills the pulpit while I'm on a mission trip or down sick or something like that, can I tell you, it rubs your flesh the wrong way. I've heard people even say this to their parents: I'm an adult now and you cannot tell me what to do. Well, first off, you ought always to love and obey your parents. You ought to honor them. You ought to desire to please them in every way of life until holy matrimony comes knocking at your door. You ought to decide not to break their hearts. You ought to decide not to make them lay awake in their bed at night and weep over you because you're out there acting like the fool. Yes, sir. Let me give you some ideas tonight about backsliding. Statement number one, there's the reality of backsliding. Now, a backslider normally is somebody that knows what to do that is right and chooses to do that which is wrong. Now, can I tell you, I'm your best friend tonight if you'll listen to me. Yes. And I'm your best friend tonight if you will heed to what I say. And I'm the parent's best friend tonight if you don't get mad at me if I nail your kids high to the barnyard door. I'm the friend tonight of the college student that should be right with God but is choosing not to be. I'm the friend tonight of that which is the single adult that has decided that you're laying down every standard that you've ever been taught in your life simply because you want to please the flesh. I'm your friend tonight if you're thinking about cheating on your wife. I'm your friend tonight if you're thinking about cheating on your income tax. I'm your friend tonight if you're thinking about moving your membership to a less fundamental Baptist church that's not going to have a man of God that's going to get up and, if you would, please tell you how the cow really did eat that cabbage. I'm your friend tonight, and you listen to me if you're an academy student or you're somebody that goes to our college. I'm your friend tonight if you're starting to go the way of the world, but you've not yet decided whether to do it all the way or not. I can tell you tonight, you've got a pastor tonight that is going to be your friend that's going to help you every single step of the way if you'll simply listen to what I have to say. Here tonight, we understand that there's the reality of a backslider. You see that in John Mark's life, as John Mark decided he was going to quit the ministry and do what he wanted to do. You'll see it tonight in Demas's life as he chose to backslide, having loved this present world. So where does backsliding start? Let me tell you where it starts. According to the Bible, we just read a moment ago, the Bible says the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. So where does it all start? Before somebody is rebellious on the outside, they're rebellious on the inside. Before somebody decides, now by the way, it's always going to show up on the outside. And let me give you some indications of a backslider. When all of a sudden they change their music taste. When all of a sudden they start changing their dressing styles. When all of a sudden they could care less about what authority says that's godly authority in their life. But all of a sudden, they start getting flip mouthed to their parents, and it's no more yes, ma'am, and it's no more no, ma'am, and it's no more yes, sir, and it's no more no, sir, but it's yeah, huh. Let me tell you what. Can I tell you? That's the picture of a backslider. Tonight, we understand that there are those that are backslide simply because, first off, we see that it is in the own heart, but it always shows up in the way in which they do walk. It shows up in their habits. They stop praying privately. Can I ask you something? When's the last time you went to your room and you prayed? When's the last time that you prayed over your meal instead of coming down and eating breakfast without even thanking God for the meal? When's the last time that you got on your knees and you thank God for your mama and you thank God for your daddy and you thank God for your brother and you thank God for your sister and you thank God for the preacher and you thank God for the principal and you thank God for the college administrator and you thank God for the Sunday school teacher and you thank God for that which is your bus captain, and you thank God for those that are singing in the choir, and you thank God for those that are singing specials. Hey, we live in such an ungrateful society, and can I tell you, one of the evidences that you can know if you're backsliding or not is in your private world. Your prayer life, how is it? By the way, it shows up in your soul winning. shows up in your soul winning. Here's what you do. You'll go out and make one or two visits, and that's about it. And then you think that you have paid your dues to God. Wait a minute. It's not about you paying your dues to God, Bubba. It is about you being thoroughly right with God. And when you're thoroughly right with God, you want to see people saved. You want to see people go to heaven. You want to give out the gospel. You want to pass out gospel tracts. You want to be more busy for God. We'll have trouble pulling you off the bus route when you're right with God. But when somebody is backslidden, they want to do the bare minimum just to get by, simply to save face. When somebody is backsliding, they quit reading their Bible. You can always tell when your children start sassing you that they're not in their Bible. Because if they were in their Bible, reading their Bible, and they took their time reading their Bible, God, the sweet Holy Spirit, is going to convict them of their wrong. You show me somebody that's sassing their mama, somebody that's sassing their daddy, and let me check it out. Let me see if they're reading their Bible. Let me see what type of movies they're watching. Let me see what type of music they're listening to. Let me see what type of dress patterns they're picking up and where those dress patterns are coming from. Hey, I'm saying this, they'll stop reading their Bible. I'm saying this, they'll stop tithing. A backslider will eventually say, well, I just forgot to tithe. A backslider will say, well, you know, now why they forgot? I'll tell you why they forgot, because it wasn't their priority. They become their own priority. They'll start missing church. They'll start making excuse. Come on now. There'll be somebody that shows up later, not show up at all. Because after all, church is just another event. Now, can I help you, dear friend? Church is not just another event. Church is the event of the week. You got to decide that church is the most important thing you could ever do. Church is a life-changing place. Church is a place where the Bible is picked up, where the Bible is opened up, and the Bible is preached up. And I can tell you that church will change your life. Church is better for you than television. Church is better for you than a ball game. Church is better for you than going to some secular institution trying to get educated by the heathen. Church is better for you than trying to have a neighborhood a Bible club. Church is better for you than going down to the movie house. Church is better for you than going to some rock concert somewhere. Church is the best thing you could do every single week in the world. I'm talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm talking about being in the house of God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm saying tonight that it starts with the heart, but it shows up in the habits. You show me somebody that's, and by the way, a backslider will never want to recognize it. Because after all, it's okay. It's okay, man. Got it under control. Well, sure, because they want their way. Come on. They want to do things their way. A backslider will spread it to others. No backslider likes to be a backslider alone. Don't get real mad at me tonight because I'm not really to the point where you should. But a backslider normally is a coward. Because they're not man enough to stand on their own, they got to pull others down with them. You know, hey, would you come watch this dirty movie with me? They know it's wrong. Hey, would you come chase this girl with me? They know it's wrong. Hey, would you come over here and drink this a little? You know, they know it's wrong. So they got to have somebody hold their hand. Because after all, they're not going to do it by themselves. They need somebody. That's why the Bible says, who hath hindered you? There's always going to be a who. There's the reality of backsliding. Statement number two, there's the reasons for backsliding. Why is it that a person backslides? Jeremiah chapter 49 in verse 4 says why. The Bible says, wherefore it says, glorious thou in the valleys of the flowing, it says, of thy flowing valley. It says, O backsliding daughter. The Bible says that trusteth in her treasures, saying, who shall come on to me? It's all about me. Why is it that a person backslides? What's the reasons? Because they get caught up in the me. Well, I'm not going to do this because I don't think it should be done. Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to live for God because I have a different opinion. Well, I don't think the preacher's right on that because let me tell you, I have a revelation from God. You know what, I tell you what, I don't think that mom and daddy's right because after all, tell me why I should because I know just as much as they do. The Bible says, O backsliding daughter, it says, thou trustest in her treasures, saying, who shall come unto thee? You see this, many times a person get caught up in possessions. Now, I'm sorry, but most people that's even in this room could not handle wealth if it was given to you. You'd be taking trips here, and you'd be taking trips there, and you'd be doing this, and you'd be doing that, and you'd be missing church all the time, and you're going to rear up a bunch of kids that's going to come back and mock you, going to come back and spit in your face, going to come back and not obey you, going to come back and just look at you and say, well, you know what? You didn't take me to church when I was young, and so why should I go now? And they're going to be the ones that's going to raise your grandkids. And you're going to wind up brokenhearted over and over and over again many times because of possessions. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. It didn't say money, it just said the love of money. But the problem with that is that most people love it. We have people right now that are dressing to be able to follow Hollywood. Come on, they're following that which is the newest dress style. Can I tell you, anything that came out of Hollywood is not worth following. Wow, they're dressing like that on television. Yeah, a bunch of Hollywood whores, but you don't want to take and follow them. You don't want to take and look at them and say, well, that's the way I'm going to dress. Hey, listen, find yourself a godly lady. Find somebody that has the power of God all over them. Hey, if you want to find the girl that's going to be faithful and submissive, you check it out tonight. How faithful and submissive are they to their authorities and to that which is the truth of the living God? I'm saying tonight, the love of money will cause, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, people that err from the faith, the Bible says, piercing themselves through with many sorrows. It's like a person taking an ice pick and saying, I deserve this. I deserve this. I deserve this. I deserve this. That's what the love of money does. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. The Bible says that pride cometh before a fall. Did you know that another thing that will cause a person to decide to backslide is not just the possessions, but pride? They think they actually know more than God. Hey, don't lose me now. Stay with me now. Don't get sleepy on me now. We're going to turn off the lights and sneak out on you. I told Brother Palmer, I said, I'm ready to preach tonight. As a matter of fact, I don't want the time to bother me, so for that reason, I've not yet moved my watch. So according to my time right here, it is 10 till 6. I haven't started yet. Now, you understand tonight that there is that which is pride. Hey, listen, you know, I've seen girls that are proud of themselves. They're proud of their looks. That's why they wear the tight outfits. Because they're so proud of what they got, they want to show it off to everybody. By the way, if she is dressing so tight that's causing you to look twice, you stay away from her. She's got that tight skirt on. Every time she moves, she wiggles in the back. Can I tell you, that is not a picture of a godly girl. That is a picture of a girl that has wrong intentions inside of her heart, and she is trying to draw you away, and she will draw you away, and you will go down in a fleshly way, and you will lose your purity, she will lose her purity, and before you know it, it's over. You listen to me tonight. There are those that have the pride. There are those because of peers, another reason for backsliding. Not just the possessions or the pride, but the peers. The book of Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but listen to it carefully, parents, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Well, I was just driving the car. It was he that held up the gas station. Why am I getting arrested? Companion of fools. Well, I just thought I'd take just a little drink. I mean, after all, what could be harmful in a little drink? I didn't know that that substance was going to destroy me the way it did. How come this is happening? Companion of fools. I you know what I'd do if I were you? I would watch and choose my friends slowly. Slowly. You say, oh, preacher, you're not supposed to judge. Oh, yes, you are. And you're supposed to judge a righteous judgment. That's what it says in the Bible. And the Bible says that you're supposed to judge lest ye be judged. You say, well, people's always judging me. If you clean up your act, they'll have no fingers to point at you because there's nothing to point at. Kid came to me many, many years ago when I preached up in Goo in Alabama at a youth camp, and he said, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. My parents, they're always over my case. They're saying, make the bed, make the bed, make the bed, make the... Preacher, it makes me upset. They're always getting on my case. I said, I have a solution. He said, tell me how to get them off my back. I said, listen carefully. Make the bed. I said, if you make the bed, they'll never again tell you to make the bed. Oh, you're just trying to get me to obey them. Uh-huh. Listen, the Bible talks about how the companion of fools, companion, that's somebody's, and that's not saying that you're necessarily involved in something, but you're associated with the crime, therefore you also pay the piper. Companion of fools. There's the reality of backsliding, reasons of backsliding. What's the results of backsliding? Look at Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 5. The Bible says, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent, and do thy first works, or else I would come unto thee quickly, and I would remove thy candlestick from out of his place, remove thy candlestick from out of his place, except thou repent. When your candlestick is removed, let me tell you what happens. Your light is dimmed. You don't see things clearly. Can I tell you, I know backslidden people that are so involved in their backsliding that when a preacher preaches this way, they'll smirk. They'll roll their eyes. They'll slouch down. You know, in their mind, they'll turn it off and they'll twist it around like, oh, yeah, like he really knows what he's talking about. Hey, I don't have to know what I'm talking about when God's talking. Man, I've seen people that's gone down the road too far. They have ruined their lives. There's testimonies of some of these adults that are sitting in this room that went through phases in their life and they decided, no, I'm not going to go any farther. I am going to straighten my life out. And can I tell you, I want to pat you on the back and I want to say to God be the glory. And I want to say thank you so much for being the testimony that you are, because not many people make it. But you are choosing to make it and you're making it. Man, you deserve an award. But can I also tell you, for those of you that have not gone out in sin and in the mire and in the dirt and in the mud, and you've not tampered with that which is drugs or smoking or illicit sex, or you have not gone over and done things that are wrong, can I tell you, you stay true to God. You stay true to God. You stay true to God. You decide. You will be faithful. You will put God first. You stay pure all the way down to the altar. Let that be your first kiss. saying tonight, peers. Peers will pressure you. The result of backsliding is that your light becomes dim. Many times when your light becomes dim, you get so far involved in sin, so far involved in wrong, because your light has been dim, you don't even see the reality of it being wrong. You say, well, it's okay. Disobeying your parents, listen to me, is not okay. Disobeying your authorities is not okay. Being somebody sneaks around and you get on these kick apps and you get on all these other things. And I'm telling you tonight, parents, you ought to take that phone away from your teenager and not let them have it back until they prove they can be mature. And that might take 20 years, but you listen to me. They're creeping around and they're sneaking around and they're doing things that they should not be doing. And they think it's okay because you're not standing up. You're not taking it away. You're not behaving the way you ought to be. And because of that, you're going to lose your kid. The light gets dimmed. The loss of the testimony. The loss of that which is a radiant light. The loss of joy. Come on. Okay, watch. You know the people that's really enjoying this message tonight? Those that are right with God. You know the people that I'm climbing up your back spine tonight? I mean, you're not smiling at me. You're not looking at me. You know, you're rolling your eyeballs from one side to the other so much that they're going to be sore by the end of the service. You're squirming around. We're going to have to buy a new spot in that pew by the time you leave. You are sweating and you're not exercising. I mean, you're afraid to say something to your neighbor because you're afraid he might get right with God and you won't. So you're afraid if you say, man, I tell you what, God's speaking to my heart, you might be left all by yourself. Hello? I'm saying tonight this. I'm saying that when that light is dim and you lose your testimony and your light, that radiance that Moses came down from the mount and he did shine. His joy was there. He hadn't lost his joy. Come on. Like a new teen soul winner that's coming in the house and saying, Mama, Daddy, I got one. I got one. Hey, led one to Christ. Isn't this wonderful? Hey, when's the last time you did that? When's the last time you did that? When's the last time as a college student you didn't go out just to be able to enjoy the fellowship, pass out free flyers on the bus route, go to McDonald's, go to Wendy's, eat something, drink something, then go home and let the rest of the world die and go to hell because after all, you put in your time. What about truly surrendering? What about truly living for God? What about realizing that here in the Dallas metro area, there's millions of people dying and going to hell, and not one time do you pass out a tract. Not one time do you care about somebody. You know how to soul win, but you don't show up because after all, your life is too important. You listen to me tonight. The light gets dimmed. Then it disappoints the lambs. The little lambs, the young ones. The results of backsliding is the little ones look on and say, man, I wish Mama would go back to church. Wish Mama would not have got backslidden. I remember the day when Mama used to be a soul winner and used to be dedicated, but now look at Mama. I remember the day when Daddy used to care about people, but now all he does is lay around on his potato couch and watch television on Saturday mornings. He's lost his fire. Can I tell you, parents that normally lose their fire will eventually cause the children's fire to be greatly diminished or completely go out. Now, I thank God we got kids in this room. I love you. We got kids in this room that their parents never go soul winning. They never pass out a Bible tract. They never even come to church. We got kids in this room that come all by themselves. Boy, I thank God for that. But why aren't you praying for your parents? You know, I don't get it. I'm sorry. I'm bared my heart tonight, if you'll allow me to, but I don't get it. I just don't get it. Why is it that we have such an apathetic attitude among some
of our dear people that they don't even care enough to go to an altar when the Bible is preached. Well, God didn't speak to my heart. Yeah, there's a reason for that. There is a reason for that. Either because you didn't care enough to listen, or because you have such a hard heart that God cannot penetrate it. You've heard me say often, I'll say it as long as I'm your pastor. And by the way, I plan on being here for quite a while.
Amen.
Two reasons why a kid ought to go to altar, why an adult ought to go to altar. Number one, because God speaks to their heart. Duh. Number two, they better go to the altar faster if God doesn't speak to their heart and say, God, why'd you leave me out? Why am I not hearing you like these others are hearing you? Matter of fact, I think it's more important to go to the altar when God doesn't speak to your heart and ask him to speak to your heart afresh and anew than when God does speak to your heart. Because at least you're right enough that you can speak to him at other times. But let me tell you something. When God is not speaking to your heart, I'd run. I say, God, what's wrong with me? Why are you not speaking to my heart? I want it to be right. I want it to be there. I want you to take and give me a fresh start and to serve you again. Amen. Don't let you be the one that causes your home to be destroyed. Reality, reasons, results, disappoints the lambs. Can I tell you this? It's also disgusting. It's really disgusting. We could go into a church and I could point out immediately if that teenager of that pastor was starting to go down a wrong path or not. By the way they dressed, by their attitude, by their cockiness. Come on. Now I'm saying this tonight. You have to understand that there is the results. And let me give you this. There is the restoration. See, every backslider can be restored. I tell you tonight that every backslider can get right with God. The Bible says in the book of Hosea chapter 14 and verse 1, the Bible says, I will heal their, this is specific. You can't get more specific than this. It says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. Wait a minute, so that must mean that when a person's backsliding, God's anger is turned toward them. But God says, hey, for the backslider, here's what I'm going to do. He says, I will heal you. I will love you. I will turn my wrath, my judgment away from you. What do you have to do? You got to turn to him. How do you do that? Number one, you realize who you are. Stop blaming others. Well, the reason I hate my dad is because my dad never spent any time with me playing ball. The reason that I hate my God is because my God has never spent time with me answering prayer. Well, the reason that I am the way I am is because I had a big brother, big sister, little sister, and they didn't serve God, and they tripped me up. It's their fault. No, it's nobody's fault but yours. Life is about choices. Somebody says, well, if I had the advantage of being raised in a Christian home, I wouldn't have all the baggage that I've got. I wouldn't raise in a Christian home. That's no excuse to me. Well, if my parents would come along, if my parents would come along and they would just be somebody that's compassionate and saying, oh, you can make it. You can make it. It's going to be okay. I didn't have that. Hey, don't tell me God can't help you individually. Don't tell me that you need mama to hold your hand. Don't tell me you need daddy to always be patting you on the back. Don't tell me you need somebody to always be walking along beside you and pampering you and telling you every step of the way, it's okay, it's okay, you can make it. Hey, you stand up, you get alone with God, let God be your God, let God help you, let God strengthen you, let God work in your life. He is still God. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place." You mean the Lord is going to feed somebody that is backsliding? You mean the Lord is still going to say, you know, wait a minute, here's at least some food? Yeah? Why does he do that? Sometimes it's simply because of the fact that he loves you. He wants to be there for you. So we realize who we are. Statement number two, we remember what we left. We remember. We remember. Had a guy who came this morning, sat on the front row right there, named Gage. We led Gage to Christ, I don't know what, many years ago. After I became pastor, Gage came down the aisle and got saved. He memorized what? Stood up one day, quoted a whole chapter, right here from this platform, whole chapter. Got mixed up with the wrong group. Who hath hindered you? Come on, you listen to me tonight. We end up going to jail. Got mixed up with the wrong group in jail. Came this morning, sat on the front row. As soon as I walked in that door right there, he came over to me. He grabbed me and he hugged me. And he said, "I'm back." Now you listen to me, he's been back many times before. But every time he comes to me and he says, "I'm back," I say, "I'm glad. I'm rooting for you. Stay back. Stay back." I want to show you something. You don't have a preacher, be seated. You don't have a preacher that doesn't love you. You mess up, parents would discipline you, Christian school would discipline you, college might discipline you, society might discipline you. Judgment would come, rightfully so.
Yes, sir.
But you don't have a preacher that's not going to root for you, cry with you, pray with you, encourage you, walk beside you, and help you to try and get back. Now, I will tell you this. We can only help people that want to be helped. We can't help people that do not want to be helped. You better thank God you have who you have as your mom and daddy. When your mom, I don't care how old you are, your parents that are walking with God still know more than you do. You have not arrived. Well, I think that I know. How old are you? How many kids have you raised? How many trials have you made it through? How many victories do you have in your pocket? How many prayers has God answered? I'm not belittling you. I'm just saying that you've got people around you that know more than you. You got people around you that care about you. You got a mom and dad that's pulling for you. You've got a preacher that's saying, "Hey, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it." You listen to me. Parents, you be very, very careful to understand. Person has to realize where they are. They have to remember what they left. They have to repent. They have to repent. You know, you can't repent for them. Don't you wish you could? I've seen parents come to an altar and bleed tears on an altar. Oh, God. Can't even understand all they're saying. Oh, God. Oh, God. Can't even get it all the way. Oh, God. Can't even give it all the way out. And I'm all for praying, and I'm all for begging, and I'm all for giving God your heart, and you pray earnestly, and you fast, and you go before God, and you beg. But that individual's got to make some decisions. No individual can repent for another. Almost done. They have to return themselves. I'm almost done. Here it is. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 22 says, return, it says, ye backsliding children. And I, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 22, return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, I will come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says, why then is this people of Jerusalem slid back like a perpetual backsliding? Says they hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. That's hard. That's hard. I mean, even over in the book of Luke chapter 15 and verse 17, when the prodigal son remembered what he left, he had common sense enough. The Bible says in that verse, and when he had come to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father, it says, have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. At least he had sense enough to come to himself. The Bible says over in Luke chapter 15, verses 18 through 19, he says, and I will arise and go to my father. This is the prodigal son, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. That's all authorities. He says, and before thee, I'm no more worthy. Let me ask you something. When you do wrong, are you broken? Are you broken? I remember looking at Josh when Josh was a teenager. And, yeah, all my children have done stupid things. But I remember looking at Josh when Josh was a teenager, and I gave him that stern look. Stay with me now. And that bottom lip, as a teenager, started to quiver because of a look. When your parents give you a stern look or a stern word, how do you respond? You better than your dad? You know more than your dad? How do you respond? The Bible says that we're supposed to return unto the Father. The Bible says, behold, we come unto thee. It says, for thou art the Lord our God. When that prodigal son came to his father, he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He said, make me, listen to it now, as one of thy hired servants. You know what happens now with a backslider? When a backslider gets caught, they all of a sudden say, well, I didn't deserve that. I did not deserve that. It is not right. And they always blame somebody else for their wrong. Always. What do? You return. Then let me give you this, and I'm done. Last point. You repeat your basic Christian duties. You don't get uninvolved. Parents of backsliders, you don't get uninvolved. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 5, remember therefore from hence thou art fallen. It says, and repent and do the first works. So what do? You do what you're supposed to do. Well, I'm backsliding and I don't feel like coming to church. Make yourself. Well, my spirit is not here. You get your body here long enough and your spirit will change. You have to make yourself do right. I don't always feel like brushing my teeth, but my wife, thanks the Lord, I do. I might not always feel like changing my clothes, but my children that live at home, thank God I do. We don't always enjoy taking out the trash, but it does help with the stink. And we do. We don't always enjoy cleaning, but it sure is healthier to live in a clean environment and in your life than a dirty one. Here's what the Bible says. It says, remember therefore, it says, from whence thou art fallen. It's not a passive thing. It's not a, oh well. It's not, well, you know, it doesn't matter. When you sass your mom and you don't obey your mom and you look at your mom with an evil look and you do that to your daddy, can I tell you, that's not light. That's wrong. When you disrespect them, when you act the fool and you're not obeying what they're telling you to do, hey, you're in trouble. Maybe you've got passive moms and dads and they don't want to get on to you a whole lot. But I'm telling you, you're dealing with a God that will correct you. And I'm scared of moms and dads that love their kids so much that you think that they got halos around their head. Can I tell you, one day you're going to wake up and you're going to realize that that's not halos. That's God shining warnings down from heaven. You just misinterpreted it. Here's what the Bible says. Remember, therefore, it says, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Go back to the basics. Hey, backslider, talking to you. Start reading your Bible. Hey, backslider, talking to you tonight. Start praying. Start going to the altar again. Start getting close to God again on purpose. Start being faithful to church attendances. Start going soul winning again. Start tithing again and giving offerings. Start doing what you're supposed to do. Remember thy first works and repent. Go back to those and repeat them again. Can I tell you, there is life after backsliding. There is life after a trial. Job had trials. The Bible says this in Job 42, and I read it this afternoon in preparing for this message in my office. In Job 42 and in verse 16, the Bible says, after this, after what? Lost all his kids. Lost all his cattle. The Bible says that after this, by the way, listen, after he made it through the trial, listen to me, parents, after this, after Job made it through the trial, he lived 140 more years. Joseph had the coat of many colors that was taken from him. I was a college kid once. I washed my own clothes. I know what it is to have a coat of many colors. Joseph had a coat of many colors that was taken from him by his own brother. Cast into a pit, sold to the Midianites, sold into bondage under that which is Pharaoh, prior to that under Potiphar, false accusations, going to prison, being brought out of prison. Wait a minute, watch this. He made it through the trial, lost 13 years of his life. You check it out, 13 years of his life, 13 years of his life, he lost it. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 15 that he died at 180. Do your calculations. When he was going through the trials, he's in his 40s. You listen to me. Here was a man that lived a great while after the trial. See, you can live after a trial. Just because you're going through a trial doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Moses was 40 years of age when he fled from the palace. But can I tell you, 80 years after the trial, living for God. Jesus had the greatest trial of his life as he hung on that cross. But hey, 2,000 plus years, you're still thanking God Jesus Christ died on the cross.
Amen.
Satan will lie to you. Listen to it now. Satan lies the most when the things look the worst. Satan lies the most when the things look the worst. That's when you doubt the most. Believe it or not, that's when you should start praying more, but you pray less. That's when you feel like giving up, moving away, taking up a new lifestyle, marrying somebody you ought not to marry, going out, getting a job in a wicked place, running to... You know why most people do that? Because they've been hurt somewhere. A dad disappointed them, a mom disappointed them, they're fed up, they want to get out, they want to make it their own way, they want to be able to have things themselves, and I'm telling you, Satan lies the most when things look the worst. Give you a closing illustration, Patch the Pirate, Ron Hamilton. Most of you know Patch the Pirate, right? How many have heard or at least are familiar with Patch the Pirate? Familiar with that? He had a son, Pee-wee. Pee-wee was probably one of the better Christians that you would meet. Honest. But he had a chemical breakdown. When he was on his meds, he was fine. When he did not take his meds, things were bad. Spiritual. If you were around that guy, that young man, the son of Patch the Pirate, you would think the perfect picture of godliness. One day he stopped taking his meds. Went out and found the tallest city building that was in the city on Mother's Day. Leaped off to his death. Patch the Pirate, Ron Hamilton. Ron and Sherry, is it Sherry? Shelly, thank you. Shelly. If anybody could say, I quit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not fair. That was our precious son. I didn't say he wasn't spiritual. He was spiritual. I didn't say it was of his doing. Though he did choose not to take what he was supposed to take. But he just got so down. He got so depressed that he felt like nobody loved him. Nobody understood him. Tallest building in the city, Mother's Day, leaps off suicide. Can I tell you that's exactly what Satan wanted for his life? Don't let Satan win with you. Don't let Satan destroy you. You got a loving mom and a loving dad that cares about you. Don't spit in their face. You got loving adults that's trying to invest their life in you. Don't walk away from that. Well, I can do it all by myself. God wouldn't have knew that, you never would have had parents. You would have been born under a tree somewhere. God's got a plan for your life. And if you're not careful, you're going to mess it up. The ways of a backslider.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.